combine wisdom with discretion. Wisdom is a tricky thing. You can think you have it and find out you don't. You can think that you have the opportunity to apply it properly and find out it wasn't so proper, and that you wish you had done things maybe a little differently. Proverbs 4:7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." And that actually takes that word understanding to a little higher plane, in that it's saying that I need to know how to use wisdom in the best possible way. And depending on how we look at knowledge and wisdom and things like that, we may say, well, it's not wisdom unless it's used properly. And I'm still thinking about that some. That's a challenge for you to consider. Can we use wisdom improperly? And I'm kind of leaning towards yes, we can. You can use facts and thoughts and ideas and knowledge and even know how to apply it to a situation, but maybe it's the wrong time to be applying it to that situation. And as much as we'd like to fix other people, we know the answers, don't we? We know how this could be fixed. We have the wisdom. I and my fellow pastor, there's certain Bible verses we like to quote to each other where we take them out of context a fair amount, but we'll say, and it comes out of Job, where Job says to his friends, he says, "Certainly ye are the people, and wisdom dieth with you." He was being sarcastic. And, you know, you get that feeling sometimes that people have all this wisdom, and they'd be glad to dispense it to you, and they know how to fix this problem. And so as we apply wisdom in life, it needs to be done in such a way and with such discretion that we apply it at the proper time with the proper people in a proper manner. It's kind of like truth. Truth is a wonderful thing, but how you present truth makes a big difference. I can bluntly tell somebody they're ugly. Maybe it's the truth. But is it kind to do that? Am I using wisdom when I do that type of thing? Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And I think what that verse is saying, show some sense, have some understanding about how to use wisdom in the best possible way to get the best possible results. And I'm always encouraged with the people that come to workshops or CMTI and teacher meetings of some sort, that often they're there, maybe it's because the school board said they had to come, but they're also interested in fixing different issues and problems that they've run up against. And they're thinking, you know, I think I know how to do this, but if I check with some other people, maybe I'll get a good idea from them. And I've watched this happen over and over again, that I've learned to not be in a hurry to make choices and decisions if I don't have to be. Sometimes we need to decide right now what needs to be done next, and we hope we've made the right choice. But if you can put it off a little bit without hurting anybody or somebody being hurt, it's often wise to wait. Then it's wise to ask advice. And there, it's wisdom also, and using wisdom properly with understanding, is having a set of questions or thoughts as to how to go through the processes that come. the problems that come, what process do I go through to get those solved? The next verse there from Exodus 36, verse 1, talks about a man that doesn't have a very long window of fame in the Bible, but it's there. It says that Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man, which gives the idea that these were also wise-hearted men, in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. God gave them special wisdom for a special job. And as God has called you to teach, God, I think, extends that opportunity and wisdom for you as well. But you've got to find the keys and know how to unlock it and know how to progress in finding solutions to your problems. If you're going to shoulder your problems by yourself in your own strength and not rely on other people's knowledge and wisdom to help you through difficult situations, you're probably going to fail. Some of us seem to be very apt to teach, apt to solve problems. Part of it is we like to give advice to other people when we don't like to take it ourselves. But that's not really wisdom. That's using the knowledge we have usually for our own honor and glory. Now, do we dispense wisdom to other people? Yes. And I think that's another thing about teachers' meetings is the opportunity for teachers to talk to each other. You can listen to the experience of Jonas and Ken and myself as we talk and listen to Peter Witt and his wife as they come visit your school and all. But there's also something about other teachers that are teaching right now that is very valuable and comes across as such. And sometimes a different personality, wisdom can be applied better just because of the way that person's personality meshes with yours. At the end of August, this past summer, I think I mentioned this earlier, my daughter and I went to Grenada. Grenada is inhabited mostly by black people. And it's has a little bit of what I call a black culture. I found that the people there aren't much different than the black people that I meet in our nearby large town where I live. But in the class, I think we had 19 in the teacher training class there. It was having a teacher training exercise. In that class was mostly women. There was about 4-5 men. And I found out as the week progressed that having my daughter along was really, really nice in the fact that she had an in there just because she was female, but and partly because of her personality, that won the lady teachers over. Because when we got there, those teachers were being forced to take the teacher training by their administration, and they were not real happy with us landing on their island, and the natives were restless. And as the week progressed, things got better and better and better. That's always good when a week does that. If it starts out bad and then gets better, then, oh my, it's so nice, right? And we can look back at something like that with joy and happiness. But I think about if I had went by myself, I'm not sure if it would have got better and better. I don't know. I just think it was good that she was along. And the interaction that she had with women teachers was very valuable. But God, I believe, you know, we all have gifts, things that God has given us, abilities that we're good at, or things that we're good at, and abilities that God has given us to do things that not everybody can do. And not all of us just have the greatest ability to teach, but God, it seems like to me, that people who teach, they have a special place in their heart for children. Sometimes that's more important, or I feel like it is more important, than the ability to be academically correct in everything. Is that love and compassion and care for the student. And that will help you dramatically in applying wisdom with discretion in the problems and situations that you find yourself in as a teacher, as board members working through situations. We need each other. And that's why, you know, as I think about school boards and things like that, I like to see a community have a well-rounded school board. Now, depending on how big your community is, the number of school board members may change. We tend to have a 4-member board in our community with one of our church leaders setting in as well. So we consider it 5 people on the board. That's a good number for our community. Other communities may have less, but I hear about communities where maybe there's just 2 people and they hardly know what they're doing. There's wisdom there in numbers as we work together. And I've been grateful for that over and over again as I watch that unfold. Then I wanted to read some verses along this thought line from Ecclesiastes 2, beginning at verse 4. Solomon is talking here. We know this man, he was supposedly the smartest man that ever lived. Yes, he was. And he gives a story here of how he applied wisdom. Was it with discretion, however? I made me great works. I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. There's a picture of someone that was smart. He had the knowledge. And he had the wisdom to apply it to everyday life to bring pleasure, entertainment, self-fulfillment, pleasing the flesh, basically is what he's doing there. And we could say he's really, that's an application of wisdom there. He used the knowledge he had and he used it for his own personal selfish reasons and selfish pleasures. And it does seem, as we read between the lines in Solomon's life, that extended to other people, that he was fairly generous and other people rejoiced in his ability to live a lavish lifestyle. But verse 11 kind of tears me up when he says, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." After he had applied the wisdom that he had, as he says in that passage, he said, "My wisdom didn't leave me, but it wasn't bringing him happiness." And I don't know how much happiness it was bringing around him. It's obvious from after he passed off of the scene of this life that the people weren't happy with the taxes and the way the government was being run, and they rebelled against his son. But he says it's all vanity and vexation. And I would hope that as we are working with children and we're endeavoring to teach our children and we are applying wisdom and knowledge that we think we know and understand about how to teach and how to run a school and how to run our homes and teach our children, I would hope that we'd never come to a spot where we say, it was all worthless. It was vanity. Certainly there's got to be a better path than that. And Solomon talks about that some in the end of Ecclesiastes, where he gives the conclusion of the whole matter, where it's fearing God, and he says, you know, instead of applying my wisdom to things, I should have been applying them to the fear of God and working on the relationships with people. And then it had been worthwhile. From the handout, with the privilege of knowledge comes the responsibility of using it properly. As you work with the knowledge that you have, the tendency is to become puffed up, to become prideful and proud of our ability to do things and to apply our knowledge to everyday life. It gives us the satisfaction to see us set a plan in order and to see it come to fruition and have successful results. Now, how do you measure successful results? I don't have the time to go into all of that. Is it because we had a wonderful Christmas program that everybody said was so great? And I think if a Christmas program is good, you need to tell the teachers and the students so. But do we just sit back and revel and relax in that and just, oh, that is just wonderful. We just had, you know, all that work finally paid off. And instead of what, you know, what's happening after Christmas vacation, we're back to the thing where there's problems in school and things aren't taking place properly. It's the little things that matter. Applying wisdom to every area of life and not just having those certain special areas that, yes, we are very successful in. Don't ignore those, but look at the areas of your life that you're less successful in making things work at school, and put your effort into that. Find people who can give you good advice, that can give you ideas of how to apply your wisdom in a proper way. Think about the people around the time of the Tower of Babel. They had, within their past knowledge, the history, quite recent, of the flood. They knew what God's response was to proud and wicked people. And yet they turned right around. And see, they were applying wisdom. They knew how to build and build well. And they were insistent on making a name for themselves. And therein lies a big part of the issue. And God messed with their speech. When would we have had computers if we wouldn't have had the Tower of Babel? I don't know. Why, with the history of the flood in their past, would they go that route? And it's because we have a desire to honor and glorify ourselves. I mean, as we study that story, you'll see that those people wanted the honor and glory. They were not giving it to God. As I use the abilities and gifts that God has given me, what am I thinking about? Am I thinking about, will God get the glory for this? Or am I thinking about, will I get the glory? Will I get the honor? Will people just think I'm the most great and wonderful teacher if I can just successfully pull this off? Or are we more concerned that this student sees God that others see God as they watch how I apply wisdom in my classroom, in my school setting, with my children. Is it God or me? Am I thinking about just right now, the results for just right now? Or do I see that maybe even though it's kind of a rough spot and things aren't going the best, that I'm making progress, or that progress is being made, let's say it that way, in our classroom, and that it's just going to take time? But the vision of what the future can hold for these children is worth putting the time and effort into it, and that going slow sometimes is better than quickly trying to fix it, and we just put a Band-Aid on something that needs an operation. Do I care if someone else gets the credit? If you successfully make something happen in your classroom, in your school, in your home, do you mind if someone else gets the credit? That really grinds, doesn't it? You know it was you that did it. And they're giving someone else the credit. It shouldn't matter. Aren't you just glad that the results are such that someone is pointed towards heaven, on the right path to enjoying heaven on earth, where we have, we're doing God's will, and God is real to that person? We want to think just a little bit about technology and how that works in our hearts and lives and in applying wisdom. How do we use the technology that is available for us? Technology is an interesting word. Oftentimes when we think of technology, we think of things like a smartphone, a computer. We're thinking electronics, and that's not really technology. I was in a workshop the other day that Elmer Glick was having, and one of the class said his minister told him that the first technology was when Adam took a stick and hit an apple off a tree. Anyway, he couldn't reach the apple, and that's imaginary. But you get the idea. So one person's technology is not another person's technology, and things like that. But as we look at the growth of inventions and things like that in the world in which we live, it's like fire. It can be a good servant. It can be used in many, many good ways. I think of, I haven't taught school since 1998. And back then, we labored over our bulletin boards and cut letters out by hand and, tried this and that and the other thing. And then these younger teachers, they get these crickets, whatever they are. And it's just so simple. Why couldn't I have that when I was teaching school? It spits out letters as you want them out of this stock, and it's just so easy. And just because it's technology, am I going to reject it? No, I'm glad they have it. I can see it makes their life a lot easier. And that's just one area there. Can a person have wisdom, though, and not use it? Yes, I think you can. But it probably ceases to become wisdom at that point, that you're not really applying it to your situation. It's like hoarding something, and then when you finally open it up, it's turned to dust. Because it's too late, it wasn't used at the proper time. Wisdom needs to be applied to the proper people, the proper time, the proper place, that type of thing. And the last question there is part of wisdom knowing when to be quiet. And I think that's true as well. Occasionally, a person learns better by experience than by me imparting wisdom to them. That's sad. Experience is a good teacher, But it seems to me it'd be better if we learn from other people's experiences. I read a quote just recently that said, I'm trying to think exactly how it went, said, a smart man learns from his experience. But it said, a wise man finds a smart man and learns from his experience. I'd rather be that wise person that's learning from the smart people's experiences. Now, you learn from experience, you remember it better. But if I'm really out there and I'm grabbing hold of the wisdom that God is making available to me, I can remember wisdom that comes from other people as well. May the Lord bless you as you seek to apply wisdom with discretion in your classrooms, in your school settings, in your homes. I wish you the Lord's blessing in that. That's just, there's so much to know. And we can't know it all. And there's so much wisdom. And we can't find it all, but we can ask, we can apply it. We can find out wisdom from other people, from other sources. Let's avail ourselves of the wisdom that is there. Okay.